What's that?
What have you done? Did you open that door?
Well, I went in to do the work you asked me
right,
to do.
Right, well, why is the alarm... Pull the... Is it okay? Hit the primary...
This one?
This one?
Okay, done.
Oh. Why is the Legion alarm gone off? Did you go to Legion's room?
Well, yeah, because you asked me to make some fixes, for 2024. Yeah. So I went in there.
Right.
Went in there.
That's all you did?
Made the changes, did a little bit of housekeeping. Because I don't go in there very often.
Whoa, housekeeping?
Yeah, you know, just a bit of spring cleaning. Because, you know, you only go in there once or twice a year. So it's dusty. So I did a bit of dusting. There's this poster on the wall of Patrick Dempsey, which I don't know why. I mean, who would have put that up? Took that down.
No. Look. For reasons that we don't know, Legion's become a little bit interested in Patrick Dempsey, all right?
Excuse me, what?
Look, the man's gorgeous. First of all, I mean, the man's like pushing 60, okay? He's a good-looking man.
Fair point. But Legion...
No, Legion, look, it's a whole... I'll explain in the...
I thought we disconnected it from the Amazon account, you know, because of the other things that happened. I thought we weren't allowing it to buy stuff anymore.
I don't think it bought the poster. I think it may have taken a photograph of him and blown it up.
Excuse me, what?
You think Legion's stalking Patrick Dempsey?
Wouldn't be the first time.
I mean, if it's McDreamy or McSteamy, it's McDreamy, right?
Welcome to the first FFL podcast of 2024. Happy New Year, everyone.
Happy New Year.
It's me, Mr. Smith, and...
it's me, Mr. Birch.
Hello. We're back.
Right. So we've got... Now, this episode is going to be very stat heavy. Because this episode, traditionally, at the beginning of the year, we tend to do a couple of things. We tend to go through all of the stuff that you should have done in 2023, which obviously, I grant you, is possibly more useful if we did this at the beginning of 2023. And then we tend to cover all of the films that are coming out in 2024 and kind of give some stuff. And then we tend to just talk about Oscars. So this is kind of traditionally what we kind of do. Yeah. So this one's going to be a relatively short podcast, but it's going to have a relatively high amount of stats.
Yes. And now you often go... This is going to be a bit stat heavy, and the subtext there is that's not a good thing. But I think the people who are listening are like rubbing their hands, going, "Yes, stats,
here for the stats." It's effectively, this is where we talk about the one and done, we talk about this. So, there are three ways to play the game. One and done is the simplest. Then you've got the seasonal game, which only runs for 3 months. And then you have the full portion.
Yes, the studio version.
Make
one film and then use the profits from that to make another film.
And keep going and going and going until you
make billions of fufflebuffs.
Or you could hit the triple comma club, which is a rarefied thing. But I think, first of all, we need to go for the news. Are we doing the normal news or are we doing dubstep news?
Oh, always dubstep news. Right?
It's in the news. Yeah, it doesn't get old, does it?
Never.
Oh, I love it. Right. So here is probably the two biggest bits of news to talk about for this year. One, Marvel have confirmed that they're only releasing one film in 2024.
One. Oh, wow.
They are only doing one film, and that film will be Deadpool 3.
Amazing.
Everything
wow.
else...
How the times have changed.
Everything else has been pushed back, and I think this is a really, really, really good idea.
Smart.
Because I think if we can sum up 2023, we can sum it up in three words. Barbieheimer and superhero fatigue.
Oh,
superhero
yes.
fatigue is a bit of a lazy way of kind of going through all of the issues. But this isn't the Marvel and DC Extended Universe podcast. But briefly, I think 2023 has been the year where Marvel tried to do too much too quickly. And we've said this millions of times before on the podcast about how they spent the better part of 6 years building up to an epic end to a story.
Yep.
And then it made an ungodly amount of money. And I think somebody at Disney went, that was great. Can we do that again next year? And you go, well no, that was like 2005 to 2013. No, but we want it like immediately. That took like 15 years. No, but we want one immediately. Can you do more? Also, we've got launching a new platform. Can you give me 20 new TV shows by Tuesday?
Yeah.
And they did. And there's a lot of
very
rush.
Very few of them were any good.
So there's a lot of rush on these things. There's been a lot of...
Very few. Only a few. Sorry.
If you read The Hollywood Reporter, which... a few people listening to this will do, but there's a lot of stuff about the fact that there's crunch. Now, you're probably used to hearing the term crunch in the video game world.
Yes. Yep.
And everyone's doing like 20-hour shifts and blah blah.
We have a deadline. We have to get something out.
We've committed to the first of this month. Therefore, no one leaves. I could tell you stories from Microsoft, but I'm legally not allowed.
I was personally crunching just before Christmas to get a game I was working on out in time, but that's a different story, that's your
choice though. Yes. You're not being contractually obliged to do so.
And that was the crunch where I went up from 1 hour a day to 2 hours a day of development.
Wow.
Anyhow, on top of doing my own job.
Well,
anyway.
I mean, wow, middle class problems.
I know.
So, but this
crunch.
In this case, you're talking about the VFX. And the VFX studios, they outsource them and they commit to doing it by a certain time. And then what happens is you have a variety of factors. And I'm basically compressing a huge article. But you may have directors who are not used to doing large VFX shots. You may have last minute script revisions, may reshoots, and they go, oh yeah, we need that entire last sequence, we need the whole thing done this time. You need to remove the giant mechanical spider, and you need to put in a giant preferably space beam that goes up and maybe cause that, but again, we'll need that by the second as agreed. And you kind of go, but it's
just burn all of the and tens of thousands of hours of VFX artist work just goes,
and more importantly, they burn VFX
people.
Artists, and people coming.
It's got a bad reputation.
I'm not. Yeah, people and houses have gone. We're not doing Marvel work anymore.
Now, was this the article where they talked about how some of the VFX artists now are unionized because of this?
Exactly it. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's probably the first thing to talk about for 2024. Is that previously, Marvel films have been banging out regularly across the whole term, and this is no longer the case. Now, this has a weird knock-on effect for what I'm going to talk about next, which is one of my biggest problems with 2023 casting has been trying to record the millions of people who pop in for 20 seconds at the end of the 20 minutes of trailers for a Marvel film. And that problem is about to naturally go away.
Yeah.
However, we are making some changes to the system. So these changes will take effect for 2024, but because of the way that Legion works and the way that the game system works, we have to make these changes universal, which means they will affect the last 4 weeks of the festive season. So, as I said before, you've got the one and done. You pick a cast, it runs for the year, may the odds be in your favor. Game two is the seasonal games, which run 1 month out of what you would expect. So they run November to January, February to
April,
May to July, and then all
September, November. Yeah, there we go.
Thank you.
We can do it. You just have to start somewhere and work around everything.
And the reason for that mainly is because traditionally, neither of the games allow you to take full effect of the holiday period. So Wonka, for example, if you play in the festive season, Wonka is your go-to.
It is the cash cow.
Because it's going to be absolutely killing it, and that's doing really well. It was delayed, though, because it came out in the UK a week before the US, which was interesting.
But so, was that so that they could hit, like, the... Because Day After Christmas is very big in the US.
26th is bigger a huge cinema day in the US, but it's not so big here. We tend to go before Christmas, and then because the 26th isn't a public holiday in the US, but it is a public holiday in the UK. So there's differences. And I think that's exactly why they did it. But anyway, as a result of that, films that are straddling the year end and the year beginning lines tend to not be able to do as well. And a lot of films have dropped in that, like Dune was supposed to be there. All of the Lord of the Rings films previously have been in there. There's Disney films that will come out that just run forever. So we've flipped it over. But as a result, the last 4 weeks of the festive season will be affected by this rule change. Right. Where do we start?
In terms of the changes we're making?
Yeah.
I think the primary one is to correct a mistake that went wrong. Something we thought we'd fix something but we actually broke something.
And then we pushed the wrong button.
Yeah.
Yes.
So we're talking about nothing's changing with top billing. You know, it's the usual 2, 3, maybe 4 people who are on they've got the biggest heads on the head poster.
Yeah.
Basically
it goes a something film, name of film, people in film, strapline.
You get full whack.
Full, yeah, 100%.
100%. Then
so that is typically going to be, if you were looking at something like Barbie, that would be
Margot Robbie
and Greta Gerwig, arguably.
Yes.
Now, is Ryan Gosling starring in that, or is he supporting that? In Barbie's case, I'd say he's definitely supporting. He's Ken, for God's sake.
So supporting supporting used to be the only other option, and that was everyone else in the cast, and you would get 50%.
Yes.
I don't know why I hesitated there.
You get 50%.
I'm just questioning everything. Yes, 50% is what you get. Later, we introduced... Well, actually, no, going quite way back.
No, we had Hey Isn't That,
and that would get you a quarter, but because of the Marvel post-credit thing... We bumped it down.
To get very badly weighted on that. Yes.
We weighted that down to 25%, and then we decided we wanted to push it down even further. So we introduced featuring, and the idea was that featuring would be 25%, and Hey Isn't That would be 10%. But when we did the adjustments, we brought featuring in. We forgot to bump down Hey Isn't That to 10%.
Yes.
Or something along those lines, and so we ended up with both of them being 25%.
So to clarify now, for films, and we're going to come on to the next thing in a second, for films, your director and your leading cast get 100% of the score. If you're supporting cast, you get 50. If you turn up for a scene or two, or you're the quirky comic relief, or you're that guy, then you get 25.
That's featuring.
And if you blink and you miss it, wink at the camera. Oh, is that like think Dustin Hoffman in The Holiday? Where he just looks up to the camera and goes, huh? And then that's it. You will get 10% for that.
Which actually is good fair value.
Play. Fair play, yeah.
But you're not going to win the game try and bank on that.
It's bonus stuff. And as you very correctly say, this was knocked out of whack a lot by the late, great Stan Lee. He'd turn up.
He'd turn up
for a blink and you'll miss him cameo for 26 Marvel films or 25 Marvel films. And he was everywhere. So that.
I mean, his filmography looks amazing.
His filmography is amazing. So that's predominantly why we made the change. So that change is happening today. So if you are very heavily relying on cameos for your festive season, which to be honest with you, you won't be, then it will change slightly.
That's the important point. This affects both the 2024 seasons, One and Done and Studio, but also the festive season.
End of the festive
because
season.
Because the way we have things set up, and we're not going to mess around with it, is that you have that these scoring sort of tiers operate across all seasons without there's no customization by season.
By calendar year.
Yep. By time.
Yes. And we have a loose relationship with time as it is.
Yep.
So we don't want to go messing around with calendars because it will cause all kinds of temporal issues. So
shenanigans.
Again, just for super duper clarity, top billing and directors 100%, supporting cast 50% of the score, featuring, and again slightly nebulous, but that's the risk of the game. You're going to have to decide whether you think that guy is featuring or supporting or which way we're going to go. It's 25. and a cameo is 10. Now, the way that we rank those is generally by opinion. Sometimes I do them sight unseen, and there has been occasions where people have kind of went, oh, actually, I would argue that X is actually not featuring, X is actually supporting. So I will tend to err on the side of caution and put them lower, because it's much easier to promote them up than to bring them down, because bringing them down will affect your score retroactively.
We don't like to take people's score and reduce it retroactively.
Exactly.
But everyone's okay if someone else gets a bump up.
Yeah, but it is a bit of a...
It's an art, not a science.
Yes, exactly. So if you would like to complain about it, I look forward to your emails. Right. Let's take a quick sting before we talk about the next real big problem.
Let's talk about animation.
Let's talk about animation. Right, so we're going to go through the top 20 later on, and I'm going to mention three or four names of people. I guarantee you don't know who they are. And the reason I don't know who they are is because they are directors of animation. And something that's happened in recent times is animation has become a lot more complicated, a lot more sophisticated, and frankly, very, very good. So, for example, Spider-Man Across the Universe, which was amazing. I went to see that in 4D wobbly vision, as discussed. Me and Little B went to see it, and we came out of it bruised. Okay, there's one point where he falls down like a skyscraper. I was there every single bump of the way with him. But we've already agreed that we're going to go and see it next time in 4 wobbly vision.
Right,
you have to, because it's going to be hilarious.
But
there was one point she jumped off to go and use the loo, came back, and I'm in full wobble. And I had to grab her hand and like pull her up onto the seat with me. And then she said, at one point early on in the film, she kind of goes, "Is someone kicking back in my chair?" And I went, "No," because she was getting punched in the spine because the thumpy thing was going on. And anyway, we had a great time. This is amazing. So yes, however, so Across the Universe has three directors.
Three.
It has Joaquim dos Santos, Kemp Powers, and Justin K. Thompson.
Oh yeah, those guys.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't know how much they contributed towards the film. I don't know whether one was in charge of the voice side, one was in charge of the action sequence. I don't know how they split the work.
And I think especially with Spider-Verse, there's like multiple animation styles.
There's so much going on. There's so many different styles. It becomes a problem. But now what we found in 2023 is most animations will have two directors attached. Maybe even three.
Yes, I have seen this
so
too.
We have two options. Option number one, I decide randomly by flipping a coin or rolling a dice who the only director is and only give him or her the credit. And they get 100%. At which point, Discord bursts into flames.
Oh my goodness.
Okay, so option one. Okay?
Yep.
That's not a great option. Option two, also not a great option, but the one we're going to go with is, from this point forward, animation directors only score 50%.
Oh, what's that sound I hear? Oh, it's the sound of a thousand spreadsheets screaming.
Yes. I think it's the only way of doing it. And I think there is still a lot of legs in animation because you can stack.
Oh, hell yes.
You can stack your cast with the directors. Yes, they're only scoring half the fuffle, but you can take up double the slots for the same amount of fuffle. But here's the kicker with the animation stuff: it is proven to be sticking around longer in the top 10. It has more legs. We've often talked about the 4 weeks of winning.
Well, yes.
With animation, if it's like Super Mario Brothers, or Spider-Man, or Puss in Boots, remember Puss in Boots last year?
Which wasn't like stellar.
It wasn't great, but it hung around in the top 10 for like 10, 12 weeks.
Yeah, and I think that's been exacerbated by there being fewer and fewer animations out over the last year or two. Well, this is the whole reason we actually had to bring in a whole separate scoring zone. From How You Train Your Dragon.
Yeah.
We have voice. The voice actors get only a quarter. So we
but that's
massively
across the board, though.
Yeah,
that's it.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter whether you're the top billing as a voice or you're, you know, Michael Keegan, Jordan Peele and Michael Keegan. Oh, I've forgotten his name. I'm really sorry, Michael Keaton, because you're very funny. He's the policeman in Wonka, but he also does a huge number of animation voices because he's just big into it. He turns up constantly. He's a great animation guy.
Yeah.
But he would cost you 25% because he plays a featuring voice of something as opposed to Alec Baldwin, who's doing, you know, the main voice. So they all count as 25%.
Yeah.
Flat rate. So we're going to do exactly the same thing for animation. So it's going to be a flat rate.
25 directors get 50.
Directors will get 50.
Because they're less likely to do other things and during the year. In fact, they're almost certainly not.
And just to be super clear, directors will get 50%, whether there's one of them, whether there's two of them, or whether there's five of them.
Right, so if I banked out all five, they'd all be getting...
They'd all get 50%.
So it's like the equivalent of supporting...
I'm not splitting the director equally amongst the number of directors available. So, for example, Super Mario Brothers had Aaron Horvath and Michael Jelenic
as their directors. And they're both on 50% now.
They would now, in this system, both on 50%, whereas Across the Universe had three directors, Joachim DeSantos, Kemp Powers, and Justin K. Thompson. They would also all get 50% each. Mm. They wouldn't get 33.3%. That is madness.
No,
all right,
no, we're not doing that.
50%.
So I mean,
we're not doing that because Legion will explode.
Yeah.
So that's what we're going to do. But if you're a single director of an animation, you still only get 50%.
Very important detail.
So for the sake of pulling this out as a soundbite, we're going to do this one more time, and then I'm going to push the button, and we're going to go to the top 20.
Okay.
So the new rules for the Fantasy Film League for 2024, which will affect the last 4 weeks of your festive season, are as follows. For films, for motion pictures, it will be top billing and directors get 100%. Your supporting cast get 50%. Your featuring cast get 25%, and random one-scene blink and you'll miss some cameos will get you a very comfortable 10%. So from animation point of view, it's pretty much the same system, but there's a flat rate. So if you are a director of an animated film, no matter whether there's one of you or two of you or three of you, you will all score 50% of normal rate, and everyone else in who provides a voice for that film, whether they are the father of the animation stork family or they rack up as a cameo as a random snail, you will score, that's a very specific example, you will score 25% of normal scores. Okay,
cool.
So we'll write that down on the Discord thing. We'll put it out on the channel. We'll make sure that we're all good. And then that is the rule set in stone. If you have any complaints, feel free to send an email to us or send an email to Legion with the title Patrick Dempsey Sucks. And then, you know, we'll see how that works. On a side issue, I'm still really enjoying all the new stings.
Mm.
And also, we're so busy, we're so stat focused, we haven't addressed the biscuits in the room. Now, today we've got the Lurgen biscuits from Looking IKEA, good. And we have Hobnobs. I'm going to eat my Lurgen biscuit, well, and you've got a list.
Line mine up. But yeah, we've been getting so excited about the future, we've kind of forgotten about 2023. We need to do the top 10s of the One and Done and the studio season for 2023. How could we forget? It's literally just, we've just wrapped up, and we're in the period between the year-long seasons.
As a reminder for anyone who's just joined the game, the prize for winning the Fantasy Film League is effectively glory. There is no money. There's nothing like that. Unfortunately, we run this game for ourselves. We aren't sponsored. We don't take your info. We don't scrape your details. We don't profile you. We don't send you Instagram ads. It's just a bit of fun. But you do get a shout out from us. So cool. And if you're on a Discord
Come
join us in the Discord group, because actually a lot of people are chatting away about what to do and how to play the game. But if you're a Discord group, you get a little badge in your Discord thing, and we also let you make a customized emoji, which will go south one day. No one's done anything too rude yet, but hey. But that's what you get, and they are the prizes. As we move forward, I don't know, maybe we'll do something later on, but right now, it's glory, it's bragging rights, and it's going, ah! Ah! to all your mates. Anyway.
Yes, right.
Let's go.
Let's do the... Okay, let's do the one and done season. So I'm going to do the top 10, very quick run through. At 10, we've got Conklery, then Austin. There's some guy called Mr. Smith in at 8. Thank you. Michael, then Dean Biggins, a lowly sixth place.
Ooh.
The spreadsheet meister himself.
I'm going to be honest with you. That's going to hurt. In fact, he's not doing the festive season because he wants to really focus on another season. And I'm like, wow, this guy's taking it seriously.
Respect. That's,
yeah, but he's currently crying into a bag of crisps somewhere.
We haven't got to the studio season of 23. We'll see how that's panned out for him in a moment. At 5, Volton Hawkman, then Robin Fry, then Metarian. At number 2, Pat Samillian. And at number 1, for the first time, full year season win for Professor Procrastination. Well done, sir. Well done. Very good. By a clear 10 million Fufflebucks.
So, Professor Procrastination runs his own podcast called Scrod Pod, which is very funny. And he talks about all kinds of random stuff. He's not just films, there's all kinds of other things he goes on about as well, which is quite funny. So, yeah, check him out. And well done, Professor. He is already asking for his emoji picture. He sent a picture through of what he wants to do, which is
it's on my to-do list.
Which is his self-portrait, which is an amazing photograph of the prof. So that will become an emoji that anyone can use. We will have to probably retire the donut one. So I think we've got a few that we've added in. We're going to have to retire them as we go along.
We'll do an audit and a clear down. But you know, when I take things away, like the Dempsey poster, we see what happens. Be very careful about that.
Just don't touch the Dempsey poster. Is there any Dempsey emojis?
No.
If there are, don't touch them.
Okay.
All right.
Right.
Clearly.
Well, last time I checked, there weren't. But you know, sometimes Legion sneaks these things in. So I don't know.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So one and done. As I said, one and done. Easiest game to play if you were doing the scores for it today.
Yeah.
But you can still jump in and win. Basically, you set your cast up for the year, you lock it in stone, and you see how well you go. It is a complete bit of guesswork. You've got to go heavily on who you think will win the money. I'll go through later on as the scores of what everyone did to show you who you could have picked. But for example, I tried a one and done. I went for Timothée Chalamet, and I would have been better than I did. I still wouldn't have won, I would have been better. But films got delayed, things got moved around.
It was a tough year.
It was a big year for the SAG strike. So next year, really, it's a question of looking at. I mean, Ryan Reynolds has to be a possible good contender.
Maybe.
I mean,
who knows?
I think Deadpool is going to do extremely well, and it's the only superhero game in town. I think it could be
interesting to see how new people recover from that fatigue.
I think if you're going to recover from superhero fatigue, Ryan Reynolds swearing at you is probably
it's a good palate cleanser.
It is.
We'll see. I don't know. I'm not sure. Let's see. Anyway, let's look at the big one, the 2023 studio season. This is where people make billions of Fufflebucks.
And this is the most complicated version of the game that you can play. Mm-hmm.
You need to be on it every
week. You start with a budget of
60, 70, 50, I think. Oh my goodness.
Budget of 50 million and then you thank you. It's okay, good. Like you only admin the game for me.
I know.
So you start with a budget of...
You know, it's like being on autopilot where you sort of find yourself driving to work when you're supposed to be going somewhere else. It's like that.
Can I do the soundbite, please?
Yeah. Okay.
You start with a budget of 50 million and you pick whatever cast you want. And the idea is to make short-term bucks. So you're betting on next week's top film or the week after's top film. You might go heavily. So for example, you're starting this week, go really big on Wonka. I know it's already come out, but it's still very, very good. There's other films that are now coming out at the end of January. There's this new one about rowing with George Clooney, which was quite good. All of these things come out. And then once you've made your money back, you scrub the film and you can make another one. Now, you can have up to 3 films running concurrently, all generating new cash. But every time you scrub a film, you don't get that money back. You have to build your new film based on the profits of what you've done previously. So it requires a fair bit of juggling. But if you're on it like a car bonnet every single week and you have until midnight UTC, which is basically more or less what we call GMT. So you've got until midnight on Thursday to get your cast in, and then Legion drops the gate And then on Sunday, we put the scores in. And that's when you find out where you are. And the whole point of this is to play the game. You can pick your cast. You can take a punt. You can play it safe. You can really get involved. Some of our players are all over this with spreadsheets and trackers and following posts. Or you can just go, oh, yeah, I quite fancy seeing that new X film. I'll give that a bash. Anyway, that's how you play the game. And if as Smith says, you can potentially join the Triple Comma Club, which is making billions.
Let's see how people did in 2023. At 10, Austin, then Soulless, then Norville Barnes.
Well done.
Mr. V.
Mr. V, congratulations. See, Soulless, congratulations. Yes. You see them on Discord every so often.
Yes. Norville and Mr. V also made the Triple Comma Club this
year. Oh, well
year.
Done.
Then from 6, we've got Patrick, then Professor Procrastination.
Oh, 5. Okay, good.
Mitch Matthews.
Mitch Matthews,
Pat's
yeah.
A Million. Oh. Metarian, and oh. Then at number 1, he quit the season, the festive season oh. Game, so that he could focus. It worked. At number 1, DM Biggins.
Yay!
Well done, sir.
Someone's currently cheering into a bag of crisps somewhere in England.
Yes, with a majestic 1.7 billion Fufflebucks.
That is ridiculous.
I tell you what also is ridiculous. What separated them at the top?
Oh.
3 million Fufflebucks. 0.3% of a
so
difference?
0.03%. 3 million Fufflebucks is the equivalent of having a top billing star at number 1 in one yeah. Box office in 1 week. It is like a fraction of a fraction
like
of a fraction.
This is like 3/1,000ths.
Wow. It's like watching Formula One, isn't it?
It was
like,
so
who won? Who won? Who did it? That is almost a photo finish.
Yeah, wow. Amazing. Absolutely stunning play, those two.
Well played. Well done, lads.
Well
as
done.
I said, you get nothing but a round of applause from two lads yep. In a shed somewhere, but
absolutely.
Yeah. Right, crazy. Ready for some serious stats.
Yeah.
Okay, let's do this.
Biscuit.
Now you go over your biscuit. I'll read your thing. So we've got a whole list here. Now we've already talked a little bit about
that's a hefty spreadsheet.
It's a good. Thank you very much. We've already talked a little bit about directors, and I'll walk through that. And on this, it's interesting because there's similar numbers, so you can instantly tell who gets what. So going to go through the top 20. Going to go through quite quickly. But first of all, at 21 is the nicest man in the world, Keanu Reeves.
Wow. Nice result.
I know.
Fair play to him. I guess that's was it just John Wick for?
I think it was just John Wick 4. Yeah.
Yeah.
So he would have cost you 8, and he would have cleared you a profit of 24. Mm. So I won't bother with total income. It's basically how much they cost and how much the profit was. So then you got rounding at the top 20 is James Gunn. Would have cost you a measly 7, and he would have profited you by 26 or nearly 27 million. That's just Guardians of Galaxy 3. Mm-hmm. But that's very well done.
Yeah.
Number 19 is Michelle Rodriguez with a score of 10 and a profit of 24. That's just Fast 10.
I didn't think it had done that well.
No. The next one was a surprise to me. Rachel Zegler.
Mm.
So Rachel Zegler was in... she's been in 2 films this year, and
right.
She's going to be in Cinderella next year. But she's
okay.
She's suffering from a bit of backlash on Cinderella because of the woke police on Twitter all over her at the moment. So that's the thing. But she was a very reasonable 8 million. And would have cleared a profit of, again, would have been nearly 28 million, which is great.
Nice.
And then the next kind of joint winners there, and we already talked about them several times today, but it's Joaquin Dos Santos, Kemp Powers, and Justin K. Thompson, who were co-directors of Across the Universe. They all cost you 10 million. They all would have pulled you in just under 26 million. Now,
profit.
Now, under the new rules, they still would have pulled you in 13 mil profit.
Hmm.
Is that right to say? Yes. They still would have pulled you in about 13 mil. So they still would have been well worth the investment.
Yep.
Because they've more
not,
than...
But not the no-brainer.
Not the no-brainer it would have been. But it still would have... They still would have made you back 13 million profit on a 10 million investment. So that's very good. And don't do it, but you're going to do it. But I'm going to say Matt Damon...
I'm not going to do it.
Go on.
Matt Damon.
Thank you. Matt Damon would have cost you $12 million, which is quite expensive for Matt Damon. But
I'm
he would have cleared. He would have cleared you a profit. This is obviously he returned 36, which gives you a profit of $24 million, and that's mainly for Oppenheimer.
Mm.
So that's pretty good. I think he was in something else as well this year.
Must have been.
Yeah.
To get that.
The number third on this is Jonathan Majors, mm-hmm. who
Ant-Man, basically.
Ant-Man and the third Creed film.
There we go.
But obviously, yep. Jonathan's had, must have been a bit of a weird one, $8 million. He would have cleared you a profit of $29 million, which is very, very good.
Mm.
Next up is Joel Crawford. You're going to go, who Joel Crawford?
Mm-hmm.
Joel Crawford, director of Puss in Boots.
Wow.
Which I didn't see, but it didn't really. Puss in Boots, The Last Wish.
Okay, yeah. And this tells you everything you need to know about animations. I don't think it set the world on fire.
Didn't.
But it didn't have any competition. It just hung around.
It just hung around in sixth, seventh, eighth position for about 12 weeks. Joel would have cost you 10, and he would have cleared you $28 million in profit, which is a great number. The next one is we've got Cillian Murphy and Christopher Nolan. Now, Cillian Murphy costs you 11, and Christopher Nolan costs you 12. Cillian Murphy pulled in $28 million profit, and Christopher Nolan therefore pulled in $27 million in profit. So for Oppenheimer, if you went big on Oppenheimer, Cillian Murphy was your man, as opposed to Christopher Nolan.
By 1 million Fufflebucks. But that shows you what one big film can do for you.
The next big one, though,
but not the biggest film, of course.
Not the biggest film, actually. It gets back into the top 10 there. It gets weird. Next one is Sam Worthington.
Huh.
A measly $6 million.
Cheap. In fact, the cheapest in that
cheapest
top
on that list. Yep.
Not
the cheapest, but a really cheeky bargain. He's got to go up in 2024. He would have cost you $6 million. He pulled in $39 million profit for Avatar, which just goes to show you how long Avatar stayed in the box office. And again, as a reminder for new players, the whole scoring system is based on your position in the top 10 and how long you stay there. It's not to do with the actual box office performance. So if you stay at number one for 1 week and flame out, that's not as good as staying in the bottom of the top 10 for four or 5 weeks, because you can actually generate them, which is why the animation stuff makes so much, because it comes in at number one and then hangs around in the bottom of the top 10 for weeks and weeks and weeks.
Our roll-off is much smoother than the box office figures. The box office figures are incredibly spiky. What is at number one is usually making 10 times what the thing at number 10, or 100 times what the thing at position 10 in the box office. But that roll-off is much smoother.
Longevity
is more important than just hitting the top.
So it is a little bit more to it than that. So Sam Worthington would have been a really, really good purchase. Next up would be James Cameron. Again, pretty much the same money, but he would have generated the same amount of revenue, but he costs $11 million. Mm. So rather than pulling in the 39 that Sam did, he only would have pulled you in 34.
This is the thing with directors. You always get that guaranteed top spot, whereas with any of the actors, you don't know.
It could
maybe Sam Worthington wasn't going to be up as high as you thought.
Arguably.
You know, for whatever reason, because we don't know until the film comes out how much
is in it.
Yeah,
it could be don't forget there could be an ensemble piece, like Wes Anderson films tend to be, there's no real star in them, they all tend to, everyone tends to, there's a million people in them, but
you're taking a gamble and that's why the directors often cost more, because they are
often cost you a lot more, but they will guarantee
you know what you're getting.
Then next up is someone I put in for my one and done, which is Dave Bautista.
Mm.
Now, Dave would have cost you $7 million, which is really good. Now, he would have turned up in June.
Part two.
Definitely as a supporting cast, possibly as a featuring. Mm. I don't know. Haven't seen it because it hasn't come out yet.
Yeah.
But also, he would have been in June at the beginning of the year. Mm. He was in Guardians. He was in
can you imagine?
He was in M. Night Shyamalan horror film as well. He's been popped up in a couple of things.
He is jobbing.
He is jobbing. He's doing well. Fair play to him. He would have cost you a measly $7 million and would have pulled you a $38 million profit.
I'm guessing Glass Onion didn't really trouble the box office, but he was in that as well.
It tickled the top 10.
Yeah.
Next up is, behind him is Chris Pratt.
Right.
Now, Chris Pratt's had a big year. He costs you $12 million, which is very expensive. He's actually the most expensive person in our top 10. But he would have cleared you a profit of $34 million. Now, that sounds good. But Dave Bautista would have given you more profit for less money.
Hmm.
So if you've, because obviously with the game, yep, you've only got a certain number of slots.
Mm-hmm.
So Chris Pratt actually would have been a worse investment choice than Dave Bautista, which is where it gets a bit confusing. But Chris Pratt's had the voice in Super Mario, which went on forever.
Yeah.
He was obviously starring in Guardians of the Galaxy 3. Yep. And I think he was in something else as well. I think he was a voice in something else because he did very well. Next up is definitely, well, actually, a really Greta Gerwig, who was the director of Barbie,
mm-hmm,
an absolute steal at 6 million Fuffle Bucks.
Mm.
An absolute steal. Now, at the beginning of last year, if someone said to you Barbie was going to be the biggest film side by side with one about nuclear bombs, you would have gone, no. But
it was we mustn't forget just how much a gamble that was.
That was a huge gamble. 6 mil, she would have profited you 44 million, which is really good. Mm. Next up is in kind of joint kind of third place is Michael Jelenic and Aaron Horvath, who were both the directors of the Super Mario movie. They both would have cost you 7 mil and they both would have made you 44 million in profit.
Right. And so this is why we have the director brackets animation rule, which I think we should now, you know, we always hark back to how to Train Your Dragon. I think we have the How to Train Your Dragon rule, and so the director scoring only half
is the Super Mario,
rule.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And I, you know, all due respect to these guys who put in probably a year's worth of work to direct that film,
or
and I'm
more.
Not taking away from that. It's a phenomenal. I've not seen Super Mario,
but from a game balance,
out, we can't have that. So they, in fairness though, as I said, they still would have made you 22 million in profit. They still would have been an absolute
which almost sneak you into the top 20.
They still would have just threatened the top 20. So they still would have done very, very well.
Yeah.
So that's the thing. So at number two, we've got Margot Robbie.
To the surprise, I don't say to the surprise of no one, but sorry,
at number two, we've got Margot Robbie. So Margot Robbie was in Babylon at the beginning of the year, which didn't do super well, but
no.
It came in and then bombed out. So she would have got a couple of mil from that on both sides of the Atlantic.
Mm.
Then she was in Asteroid City, which again, didn't do very well in the US, but it hung around in the bottom of the top 10 of the UK for quite a while. Is it because Scarlett Johansson was naked in that film? I can't say.
Hang on, Scarlett Johansson was naked.
Have you never seen Asteroid City?
Not.
Sorry. And a million voices go click at the basket. So, what is it on streaming service? It's Asteroid City, which is a bit of a bizarre Wes Anderson film.
Mm.
So she was in that, and along with a million other people. So
yes.
Again, a real ensemble piece. Plus, obviously, she was in Barbie. And Barbie did very, very, very well for a very, very long amount of time. And she was obviously top billing for that.
Ka-ching, so Margot, ka-ching, ka-ching.
Ka-ching, ka-ching, ka-ching. Like a triple win. A little bump at the beginning of the year, a little bump from Asteroid City, and then an absolute juggernaut of Barbie. So Margot would have cost you a mere 10 million Fuffle Bucks and would have cleared you a 46 million profit. Which is the biggest profit so far on the list? Obviously.
So she's a few million Fuffle Bucks ahead of the Super Mario directors.
She's 2 million Fuffle Bucks ahead of the Super Mario boys, but would have cost you 3 million more. So there's an argument to be said that Aaron and Michael are actually the better investment than Margot. But that, again, that's crazy. Right, ready for the first place finish?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now I don't know.
Yeah.
Who
I know.
What?
Because I looked and I was like, "That's going to be Margot Robbie." It's not. It's Zoe Saldana.
Because Guardians of the Galaxy, but also
Avatar, which I didn't bother because Avatar to me is a thing that just didn't happen. I was like, don't care about Avatar. Zoe Saldana cost, again, like Margot Robbie, cost you 10 million Fuffle Bucks.
Wow.
She cleared a 68 million profit.
Avatar came out in 2022.
Yeah.
Mid-December.
Burned over.
And it was still at number one by the end of January.
Yeah, it was crazy.
And then it was still at number 10 in the US. So it left the US box office at the end of March.
Yeah.
Three months. 12 weeks. Massive
legs.
12
and
weeks.
And then as soon as that finished, we had a little breather. She turned up. She turned up in another film, and then boom, Guardians.
Straight into Guardians.
So she was absolute killer. So if you pick Zoe Saldana as your one and done, I mean,
amazing. And she was in the top five from the beginning of May to the beginning of June.
Yeah.
So 2 months in the top half of the box office.
Was there ever a point where Guardians was in and so was Avatar?
No.
Okay. But they would have missed each other by about a week or two.
Basically, she was scoring January, February, March. Then she took April off and then straight in May, June, and July. So almost half the year. Almost half the year in with a film.
Well played.
Making you money.
Well played.
Yeah.
So, yeah, really.
And profit, 68 million Puffer Bucks. Really, it's like 50% more than anyone else.
It's insane. Wow. A really, really weird one. So, yeah. But as always, I like to go to...
Do you remember when Rose Byrne was in Bridesmaids and was just around forever? And she did the same thing.
Yeah, she did.
Amazing work. Nice one, Zoe.
So, a couple of interesting ones of people that you probably shouldn't have picked. So, and again,
I always love this bit.
Again, no shade on these guys, because you know these guys do well. But this is another thing you need to think about. Actors tend to do a lot of work, then take some time off, because you'll do 3 months of filming, you'll do another 3 months of filming, you'll do a little indie film for a couple of weeks, and then you'll take the rest of the year off. And then those films go through post and they come out and they all drop out at the same time. Michael Fassbender, who I still maintain I'm saying that name wrong. I'm pretty sure it's Fassbender, but that could be a whole universal theory. He's great. He's currently in Next Goal Wins, which was filmed in 2019.
Yes. What a shelf life.
And he was in The Assassin? Not The Assassin.
Not Assassin's Creed, which he was in the
which
past.
Which he was in the past.
But some other Assassin-y.
Which came out in the cinema and then immediately dropped on Netflix.
Right.
Because the reason that they do that is they bring it out in the cinema so it qualifies for awards.
Yeah.
But they're not looking for box office because it's all about the Netflix.
And this is actually the biggest, probably one of the biggest gotchas now in the game.
This can
is
be
the Netflix
quick.
Release.
You've got to be quick on these, because they will not make you money. Anyway, Michael would have cost you 11 million Fufflebucks. But he only would have generated you just shy of 1 million. So that would have been
a very bad when you think you start with 50, that's 20% of your budget.
Gone.
Like just poof. And getting moving early, if you'd have picked him early in the year, you would have been in real trouble.
You would have been a bit thick. Now, another one that's interesting would be Taika Waititi.
Mm-hmm.
Again, he would have cost you 9 million. Fuffle Bucks, but only would have generated you just under a mil as well. Did Thor Love and Thunder come out 2022? Yeah. Think about this year, it came out last year.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. So he just had a year off.
Really?
And again, he's doing that.
Really?
Yeah. Weird. Other ones that are interesting, Liam Neeson. Now, for those of you, Liam Neeson was a solid earner for the Fantasy Film League a few years ago, because he used to bring out the middle-aged revenge films.
Yeah.
Where basically he was a middle-aged
man. And sometimes
man.
More than one a year, which is why he got, you know, especially around the Taken era, he was a legend.
So he would have cost you 14 million, but he only would have generated you 12 and a half. So he would have lost you a million and a half. That's not that bad, but it's interesting.
Not, yeah. Maybe his price might be a little bit inflated.
And there will
given be... Given recent performance.
There will be adjustments as we go along to this. But yeah, some really interesting ones. Steven Spielberg, a nice, easy, guaranteed get loads of money, would have cost you 12 mil, only would have generated you 4 million back. So just, you know, be aware of that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I think, who's our most expensive person? I think it's Dwayne Johnson. So Dwayne Johnson would have cost you, to give you an idea, Dwayne Johnson would cost you 14 million.
Oh,
and in fairness, he made 49 million. So he would have made you a 30 mil, 35 mil profit. So you're still doing very well with those. But there are a couple of ones on there that
the most expensive people right now, Dwayne Johnson, Liam Neeson, Ryan Reynolds, Tom Cruise, and Tom Hanks.
Which I think is fair.
Hmm.
And it's safe to assume that Zoe Saldana's price is going up.
But she's probably not going to pull the
same. Well, you see, this is
thing
the thing.
Off,
just
right?
because they're expensive,
there's a lag.
Doesn't mean
in,
you need to do your search. You need to search on these things and make sure that if you're going to pick somebody expensive, make sure their film's coming out. Ryan Reynolds, I think, will make you the money back on Deadpool. I'm going to say it now, and you're going to play this back later and go. but I think was he 14, 15 mil?
I think he's 14.
I think
whatever he is now, he's probably not going to be it by this afternoon, right?
Ryan Reynolds is about 14 mil, and I think for 14 mil, I think you'll see a modest.
No, I just read you out the 14 mil. He must be less than. I wonder, did I say? Yeah, I said Ryan Reynolds name and then forgot it immediately.
So Ryan Reynolds is 14 mil, and I think 14 mil, I think you'll see a profit, but you won't see a huge one.
No.
So I think that's good.
But is it kind of because it's a no-brainer, right?
Well, yeah, exactly. So it's an easy play.
Yeah, yeah. There's a reason they're expensive.
I'm pushing the button. I'm started out.
We done.
Right. I think so.
Right. No more numbers.
I'm done. I've hit peak stat, and I need to go. Oh, my my voice is starting to go. So yes. So that's it.
Year.
What a year. So hopefully those changes are sensible, and hopefully you agree. If you don't agree, then again, please feel free to send an email to Legion telling them that Patrick Dempsey sucks.
I'll go warm up the ban hammer on Discord.
I think you know, we've always evolved.
We've never banned anyone on Discord. It's very civilized.
Never.
So far.
No, Discord is actually, I just want to call it, if you are new to the game, have a look at the Discord channel. It is full of people who are very well humored. There's a lot of help. There's a lot of kind of opinion and advice, and things tend to get battered around a lot there. There's various places you can go to. We run we're all playing a daily quiz with nothing to do with the FFL, but we're all playing a daily quiz, which is really good fun. You can put your cast additions in there. If you do want additions for your cast for 2024, let me know. You can email me. Good luck. Best type place to go is the Discord channel. And then I sit down with Legion every Sunday afternoon. Although for some reason, I've now seen the calendar, we have to start binge watching Grey's Anatomy. I don't know why. So do that. Then I'll do the additions for the cast. But we do them on Sunday, which gives everyone enough time to check them out. If you are a patron, then you will get, Legion will actually inform you specifically that someone has been added and the price that they have been added in. If you are not a patron, don't panic. You still get that information, but you'll need to go into your dashboard on the FFL. You can go into the people tab and it will show you a list of all the most recent additions. So if you're a patron, it just makes your life a little bit easier, but it's not conferring any advantage on you. Like I said earlier on, we're not about pay to win. We're not about, you know, taking anyone's data and messing around. It's a bit of fun. Someone even on Discord yesterday said, yeah, it's only a game. At which point the reaction was, it's only a game. No, it isn't. And I think one of our players linked to an article that he wrote, a kind of a jokey, kind of onion-esque kind of article about fantasy football. And someone was being magnanimous in defeat. And everyone was like, no, that's not what we're here for. It should be just. But yeah, it is good stuff. So. Right, that's it. Wrap it up. Time to go home. We're done. Loads of stats. I'll get this posted out and then.
Looking forward to 2024.
Yes. Go. Excellent. Good luck, everybody. May the odds ever be in your favor, which apparently is a line from some film. I don't know.